That's better.
It's a Tech Tuesday, everybody, and on the line with us right now from CNET.com, the executive editor of CNET News, Ian Schur, on the line with us. Hello, Ian.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing well today. I've been waiting to buy a new Apple MacBook Pro, and I keep waiting for the new things to come out so the old one will be less expensive. But Apple made some announcements. Nothing about that, though.
Yeah, so they had their developer conference here in San Francisco on Monday, and they are talking about a lot of the software for your devices, which means no new devices to actually hold and no new shiny gadgets, at least until a little later. But we got a really interesting kind of look at what the future of the software is going to look like. And every year, this is kind of the beginning of their ramp up to the holidays. So one of the big things for the computers was that they said that they're working really hard to make sure that these computers work a lot better with our phones. So if you have an iPhone, for example, now you can use Apple Pay, their payment system, when you're going around the internet instead of having to rely on PayPal or being terrified of putting your credit card on out there. You can now use their system, which in some cases is actually more secure than the credit card in your wallet. And then they've also done other things like trying to make it so that these computers don't use as much memory and trying to use now Siri, the voice assistant, which is a very popular thing that's starting to be integrated into computers widely. You've got Microsoft doing that with Windows as well. So there was a lot of that type of stuff going on. And then, of course, they showed a lot of features for iOS and the new iPhones that will be coming out in the fall. And a lot of that stuff, again, is kind of tied around making it work better with the Macs. It was really interesting how they're pushing it.
Why do we need new iPhones? I mean, if you have an iPhone that's working. Seriously, I have a 6S. I don't plan on getting a new iPhone until this one starts crapping out on me.
But there are people who get one every time a new model is introduced, right, Ian?
Right, and in fact, being a tech nerd myself, I'm one of them. But the reality is that you're not wrong. A lot of people are holding off on their upgrades. And in fact, it's something that the entire industry is starting to see. The growth of the industry has pretty much stopped. And a lot of that is because people are holding on to their phones longer because they are just good enough these days, right? You can hold on to it for a few years instead of just a couple, and you don't need to upgrade every time to new hardware because Apple gives out the free software update anyway and tends to give you all the features you want. So a lot of what gets people to upgrade these days are either their phone crashes out, as you mentioned, or they're enticed by the camera or the slightly faster stuff, right? If you like to play a lot of games, you might want the faster chips in it. And if you're a photo bug like I am, then you want the better camera every time. So that's what pushes people. But broadly speaking, a lot of people are holding on to their phones longer. And that's not wrong, right? Apple is making sure that they are making it so that your phone still has value year over after year. When they put out a new free software update in the fall, they do it for phones made over the last 3 or 4 years. So everyone gets that software update. And then there are new features for the new ones in case you want that. And if you compare that to, for example, other manufacturers out there, not that I'm supporting Apple in any way, but if you look at Samsung and LG and all the other people, they've struggled to be able to keep this type of pace. Whenever there's a new piece of software that comes out of Google, it tends to actually not be introduced into the phones until much later. And so you've only got 10% of users right now using the latest software from Google, whereas you have 80% of the people using it from Apple. So it's really interesting how it plays out.
Ian, which should I get, a phone with a better camera or better-looking family and friends?
Well, since it's harder to find better-looking family and friends, I'd say you should get the better camera.
All right. Okay.
There's an interesting study that was done a long time ago where they actually tried to see whether or not the better cameras help people take better photos.
Yeah.
And, of course, the answer is that you could hand a Pulitzer Prize winner a really bad point-and-shoot, and they create amazing photos, right? A lot of the work is actually behind the camera, not the camera itself.
All right.
Heard some LinkedIn news. What's going on in the LinkedIn world?
Yeah, so one of the things you probably wouldn't have expected, they actually got bought by Microsoft, of all people. So this company that we all know for making software for our computers and making really kind of boring businessy software like Outlook and Word has now got jumped into the social world. They're spending $26 billion to do it, which is one of the largest tech deals ever. And they think that it's going to be really helpful for the two to work together. And if you think about it, like, I don't know how often you use LinkedIn, but a lot of people, what makes it appealing is that it's kind of a resume that's living on the web, right? And a lot of recruiters like it because people actively update their resumes all the time. It's like a profile versus Monster.com, where I only go there because I want to get a job. And then once I got one, I'm gone. And so Microsoft sees this value where they could say, okay, well, let's pretend, they aren't saying that they'll do this yet, but let's pretend I'm using Outlook and I have a meeting coming up with someone. It might send me all of their LinkedIn information and say, hey, you guys went to the same school and you have the same interests and you worked at the same company 3 years ago. And so those types of things could be really valuable for Microsoft and make Outlook different from all the other competitors out there. So that's what they're thinking as they're kind of spending this a ridiculous amount of money.
You know what's so hard for me about LinkedIn is people ask to get a connection.
Right.
And I don't want to be rude or mean, but if I don't know them or I haven't worked with them,
yep,
I don't want to accept the request. What's the protocol on that, Ian?
Yeah, it's a little hard. You know, I have dealt with that myself. And my protocol, this is just me, is that I only connect with people that I have had a direct interaction with. So I have to have met you. I prefer in person. But it's interesting, like, a lot of people use these social networks differently. So, for example, Twitter, a lot of people are like, I don't care whether I met this person because they might have interesting tweets I care about. And I want real-time news from this person. They seem to be good at that, so I'm going to connect with them. On LinkedIn, it's more professional, right? If I have a professional reason to connect with you, then I will. And then on Facebook, it's like, do I want to show this person my baby photos?
Right.
And so those are all the things that people struggle with as they're using this stuff. And there's no defined list of rules. That's part of why it's hard. You know, if you talk to Miss Manners, she would probably tell you that, you know, you should be keeping to people that you want to have a connection with. And that would probably significantly reduce the number of people that you're actually connected with on these social networks.
I'm kind of picky with my LinkedIn connections,
sure.
So yeah. Sorry to anybody that I've turned down.
And you're allowed to be.
You
yeah.
Turn me down, and I work with you every day.
No,
you're like, I
don't,
can't recommend
you. In
sorry.
Person.
No, that's true. All right.
And finally, Ian Schur, executive editor at CNET News. I love CNET.com. There's a big video game show that's happening in L.A. What do we need to know?
So basically, this is all of the stuff. Are you going to be buying it in the fall? They show off all these games and everything. The big news out of here are two things. One is that virtual reality is just huge. Almost every major game maker has some sort of a VR game that they have announced. And so whether or not you like it or find it interesting or think it's the nerdiest thing you've ever heard of, there is going to be a lot of VR stuff that's in your face or on your face over the holidays. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. The other thing are that there are now the people who make the Xbox and the PlayStation are actually announcing new devices much quicker. So they used to release them every 7 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Now they're pushing to 2 or 3 years, which means that, A, I'm spending a lot more money, but, B, they are trying to do this because the speed at which innovation is happening with making games look photorealistic and virtual reality and all of these things are so demanding that they are now being forced to do these upgrades a lot quicker than they had planned. And it's really interesting to see how this is playing out. You've got these beautiful-looking games that are getting closer and closer looking like movies, but there's a huge cost associated with them. It'll be interesting to see whether or not consumers want them in the end, and then, as we've written on CNET many times, whether or not people want virtual reality, which is still a huge question mark as well.
Well, thank you so much. Looking forward to the new Star Trek game coming out for virtual reality. That should be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Ian.
My pleasure.
Ian, have a good time. That's Ian Schur, executive editor over at CNET News. It's right there on your computer, for heaven's sakes. Dial it up. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news and then more show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.